First I was a Catholic girl, loved the mass, I watched the swirl of smoke from candles burning, while Mary looked up yearning.
Hello and welcome to the Digital Freethought Radio Hour on WOZO Radio 103.9 LPFM here in Knoxville, Tennessee. We're recording this on Sunday morning, May 22nd, 2022. I'm Larry Rhodes, or Doubter 5. And as usual, we have our co-host on the line with us. Hello, Wombat.
Aim for the eyes.
It always works. And our guests today are Dread Pirate Higgs, welcome from Canada.
Ahoy.
And George Brown from East Tennessee.
Hi.
And Boudreaux, Ohio, was that right?
Dougie.
Kentucky. Close. Only a state away. Digital Freethought Radio Hour is a talk radio show from about atheism, free thought, rational thought, humanism, and the sciences. And conversely, we'll also talk about religion, religious faiths, gods, holy books, and superstition. And if you get the feeling you're the only non-believer in your town, well, you're just not. In Knoxville, in the middle of the Bible Belt, we have a group of over 1,000 of us. And we'll tell you more about that after the mid-show break. Wombat, what's our topic today?
Does atheism need a pope and all the repercussions that come with it? You think it's an easy answer. You think it is, but we'll go into the meat and potatoes of it. Before we touch any of those proteins, let's have a nice dose of carbs from our own representative in chief, who will lead us in our weekly invocation. Go ahead.
Our newly Lord, who art in a colander, al dente be thy noodles, thy blood be rum, thy sauce be yum, with meat as it is with vegetables. Give us this day our garlic bread, and forgive us our cussing, as we forgive those who cuss against us. Lead us not into ketoism, but deliver us some carbs, for thine are the meatballs, and the sauces, and the grog, whenever and ever.
So, you know, something I've been looking forward to is seeing all of you guys here. I got my mom here, and it's nice to have friends and family over at the same time, too. And so I'd love to just take a moment to just catch up with everybody. Dread, I heard you doing a lot of weddings. What's going on with you?
Yeah, well, you know, now that the COVID restrictions have lightened up, people are getting themselves married. And, you know, right now, I'm a marriage commissioner under the Vital Statistics Ministry. So if people, it's a good secular option. And a lot of people don't know that there's that option. So sometimes they come to me and say, well, you know, what are you like non-denominational? And I say, well, in fact, under the regulation, I cannot invoke any kind of supernatural being. So this is good. A purely secular option. And they, you know, once they kind of realize it and they aren't religious, then they're quite happy to have that option.
So for anyone listening, Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster, reps and priests can do wedding officiating. And it doesn't mean that everyone has to eat spaghetti afterwards, right? Like, it's not like a spaghetti themed wedding, though you totally could have that. What it is like a respectful, non-supernatural place or representative to hold vows, right? And still be officiating. Is that close to it?
Well, so I've been appointed by the Ministry of Vital Statistics to be a marriage commissioner. So it has nothing to do with Pastafarianism. If people choose the Pastafarian option, because in my photo online through the ministry, if someone looks for a marriage commissioner, they see me wearing a tricorn. And so if they want that option, I am happy to oblige. Absolutely. And I have.
That might be the circle I check. Just letting you know.
Yeah. No, the one I had in just around Christmas a year ago. Yeah. Yes, I had my tricorn. I was in a sweater that had lights on it with the reindeer, you know, one of those really ugly sweaters.
Sure.
And a pair of plaid pajamas. And we had a lot of fun
I imagine that's the way weddings should be in my head. They should be a lot of fun and a memorable experience and fun for everybody. It's not fun sitting in a suit, sweating outside, listening to the same three songs over and over again. Mm-hmm. Right. And it's just like,
which is where I'll be today, unfortunately.
Anything else going on that you want to catch us up on?
Just doing more wood turning out in the shop and just waiting to get back to work here. There's been a slump in the film thing because we had pilot season.
Sure.
So they have to wait until those are produced and have been aired in order to determine whether the series is going to continue. So starting up in June is when the regular seasons begin, and you know, I'll be back at work. So
nice. Boudreau, it's always good to see you. Welcome back to the show. How you been?
I've been great. I've been sad. I've missed so many guys. Soccer's been busy, and it's great to be back. And I'm going to Greece next month.
Oh,
all right.
Whereabouts? Very, very nice. Yeah, whereabouts?
Athens.
Oh, okay.
The OG. Nice. OG. Yeah, if you're going to go to Greece, you got to go to Athens, right? And then, Macedonia too. Like, there's so many beautiful places there. And I guess, is it like just sightseeing or do you have family up there?
Well, I'm going for a conference, submitted a paper to a conference and I'm going to go present. But my wife's coming with, and a coworker and his spouse. And one of my colleagues is from Greece and he'll be there. So I will get kind of the inside track.
What's the paper on?
Yeah. And how is your Greek, by the way?
Non-existent. I did take Latin in college, so maybe that.
Yeah. Well, basically, you're an engineer, right? Like, you should be able to do the math, right? Like, because all the variables and all came from there. It's just
math
is
the universal language.
Yeah. Like, you spell with math? I understand everything you're saying now. That's great.
And the paper topic is too boring for this podcast.
What's the title of the topic? Just hit us cold, dipping in the shower. Just give us the title.
I'm not even sure exactly the effect of segmentation on safety.
Okay. Oh, cool. Not bad. I love it.
Oh, what?
Anyway, George Brown, second and a half. Didn't see you last week. We're going to call you. What's up? How you been?
Oh, I've been okay. I here in Tennessee, things are growing.
Yes.
It's springtime and, everybody's allergies are acting up, which means my allergies have been acting up. So I started taking a new antihistamine that's been making me very drowsy. And I also was up very late the night before last show. So I decided I'm just going to sleep in today.
Yeah.
Is what happened last week. That's why I wasn't here.
Oh, okay. Came into town red. You see, George is trying to make us not feel bad.
No, that's better than you being ill or something. That's great.
Very true.
No, I was just sleeping, to tell you the truth. Mm-hmm. I will not lie. I did not chop down a cherry tree. I was fast asleep.
So a very popular bush here in Tennessee is the honeysuckle. I don't know how much if it's very popular in Kentucky, but they're all in bloom statewide. So you go outside and everything smells sweet, but it's also like hits your face and you're sneezing, but then you get over it and you have this like, it's nature's been shampoo washed kind of scents outside. It's very, very nice.
Growing up in New York, I always had a post-nasal drip, and it was driving me crazy. And the reason for that was all the pollution blowing over from New Jersey, from all the chemical factories over there.
Yeah.
So here in Tennessee, it's different. I have the same symptoms, and it's from all this junk that's growing.
All right, I'm going to ask this weird question. Has anyone ever seen those weird pots that you put down one nostril that pours out the second nostril?
Yes.
Or is that okay? Okay.
I
is
have
that just
one.
A southern thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Neti pot.
Yeah. All right. I didn't know.
I have a squeeze bottle that does the same thing.
All right. I saw that and I thought it was a magic trick. I was like, there's no way these tools are connected. That's crazy. Where is it going? It's like
anyway. No, they're good. They work. Yeah.
They work.
I had sinus surgery, and I had to do that for a week or two. The very first time I did it, that was so weird. It felt like you feel when you go to a pool and get water in your nose. But after that, I mean, there was no chlorine, so it didn't hurt. And after that, it was just fine.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just a gentle saline solution. Mm-hmm.
And here's the, I guess, the scary question. Does a lot of stuff come out, or is it just like, I'm just rinsing. Or it's like, whoa, that was in my head the whole time.
You got the sink water running too, right? Yeah. So
you don't
need to look at that stuff.
You don't need to look.
Better out than like, in, I always say.
Okay.
That's right. Better out than in.
Found that USB stick. I was wondering where it went. There's where all the spiders that crawl in my mouth go.
Yeah, the toy soldiers I've been showing.
Yeah, off. Yeah, like things from childhood. You're like, that's where that thing went. All right, jelly beans. You know what? It's I have said this. Like
my migraine's gone.
Right. If I'm cleaning my car and I find like a jelly bean under the car seat, I'm still eating the jelly bean. That's like my dude rule, because there's nothing else touching that, and it's already a jelly bean. Like it's not like a piece of Reese's Pizza Cups was like melted. Like I'm eating that still. I love it.
So that's fair.
Yeah. I think we all agree that's normal. Okay. We need more women on the show. Larry.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Larry, how you been?
I'm fine. I meant to take my bike out yesterday and didn't get around to it. So I'm hoping I will today. My motorcycle, that is. Ooh. But no, I'm feeling fine. Doing good for 72. Had a birthday this month. So, yes.
Happy birthday, Larry.
Thanks.
Yeah. Happy birthday. Yeah. Listen, no, Larry, it's all good. When you ride your motorcycle, do you go out with your suspenders? Because there's nothing more cooler than just like bicycle.
That's right.
Be like, if people look back, like,
I represent, as it were.
Yeah.
Just actually, going back, kind of remind me of Red Green a little bit.
Yeah. Keep your stick on the ice. There you go. I grew up with that. That's wonderful. Yeah. Guys, we have an interesting topic, an interesting question today, which is, does atheism need a pope? Now, hear me out. What does a pope do? Okay, your knee-jerk reaction is, no, atheism doesn't need a pope because we don't need the pope. It's like, I understand what you're saying, but think about what the benefits of a pope is. When you think of the Catholic Church, you don't have to think about the disconnected groups of people across the entire world. You don't have to think about an organization that's been around since medieval times. You think about one guy who lives in one place, who visits different locations, talks to presidents, talks to other world leaders, gives speeches as a representative of this entire ideology, and who everyone looks up to as like, that's the guy who represents the rules and hands down the dictates that we all represent, follow. And we have an election system for this person. And that's the person who represents us. And if you have questions, talk to that guy. And meanwhile, I'm going to live my life. And if you have any questions, feel free to talk to a representative. And I feel like while it does have its own complications, I do feel like there could be benefits, particularly from a political side, to having a representative of atheism. Because for the most part, we can ignore atheists, but it's very hard to ignore the Pope. You know, those shoes are incredible. What are you going to do? And he has a little bulletproof case.
Will he have a funny hat?
Of course, there's going to be a funny hat. You can't have a religion without a funny hat. We all know that's
atheism is not a religion.
I'm just saying, pick and choose. So,
well, someone did point out that we already have one, and that de facto pope is Richard Dawkins.
Richard Dawkins, yeah.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. De facto pope is Richard Dawkins. Dread Pirate, would you like to elaborate, or what do you think?
Oh, well, I mean, you know, because of course he was considered one of the four horsemen, along with Sam Harris, Daniel Dennett, and Christopher Hitchens.
Hmm.
I think Richard Dawkins is pretty strident in his atheism, and a very soft-spoken, but still soft-spoken. You know, he's eloquent, articulate, absolutely incredibly knowledgeable and qualified. But you know, soft-spoken and sort of gentle in certain respects, and I think those are all good qualities of someone that's representing. Ah, there you go.
Aw, that's
signed there.
He signed it.
Yeah.
Cool.
Very
cool.
Very good.
Very cool. Cool.
Is that your brush with fame there?
Yeah, I got to talk to him and it signed real briefly, but yeah.
Nice.
What about the idea of political persuasion? Because I know Richard Dawkins doesn't necessarily like shake hands with the king of Bolivia, you know, or like any American presidents, because people will be like, I don't want to talk. I don't want I don't want to be associated with the guy who's in charge of atheism. Like, who can, how can you bridge that gap? And do you think Richard Dawkins is in a good position to do that? Or would you, without a name necessary, would you want like a separate figure to be sort of like the political in between of atheism and, you know, politics at large?
Yeah, that's an interesting question.
Well, it's kind of like asking, should we have an atheist party?
There you go.
Yeah, political party. And the answer to that is hell yeah. But I mean, can we get away? Can we get away from the two-party system enough to do that? And that's the problem. I mean, right now the nuns, I think, outnumber the religiously affiliated, but atheism per se is only about 10%. You know, people that actually say, I'm an atheist, although a lot more people than that don't believe in gods.
Right.
As far as your question about the atheist pope, I'm not so sure, because like the word God, pope brings an awful lot of baggage with it. He's an authoritarian figure. At the head of an authoritarian regime or establishment, hierarchical, exactly. And you are an expected empire, to basically follow the edicts of a pope. And atheists won't do that. I mean, we're critical thinkers. We're independent people. It's like herding cats, as so many people say. So I don't
Larry,
think
that was the phrase I was hoping you'd say this show, because that is what you say. Yeah. Atheism is like herding a bunch of cats.
Right. And I don't think it would work. But it's good to have a public person to be able to answer questions about that who is very good at it.
Dredd and then Boudreaux.
Yeah. I was going to ask if you guys have heard the term brights.
Yeah.
As something that relates to atheists. Daniel Dennett uses it a lot in his books. I'm reading one of his books actually called Breaking the Spell. And he uses the word brights regularly to refer to people who are atheists. So
yeah,
I think it's a better name for, you know, a political party than atheist party. Like if
I see
part of the brights, you know, like
a rebranding.
Pretty cool. Yeah.
A rebranding without the baggage.
It's almost as good as being a pastafarian.
Well, the only criticism I've heard of using the brights as a name is it implies everybody else is dim.
Well,
so
that,
yeah. If the shoe fits.
You know what? I'm going to stick that knife a little deeper. It also implies that all atheists are bright, which is not the case.
There's that too. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So there's a little bit. I always, you know, I'm always a little weirded out when people find identifier terms that in their own right are just self-compliments. And it's like, critical thinking, yes, like that's hard to do, but like I consider myself an intellectual. It's like, okay, what does that mean? Well, I watch Netflix with the subtitles on. It's just like, okay. We may have a little bit to go. Boudreaux, go for it, and then we go to George. What's up, Boudreaux?
Yeah, I liked your point earlier about cherry picking. I mean, if we're talking about, you know, entertaining this idea, we don't have to, you know, follow it exactly the way the Catholic Church does. We can cherry pick.
Exactly.
And then I think you can take the good pieces. And I've made the point, I think, on this show before that's one of the struggles we have, you know, as a group, is that we really are so separated and we're so unique and different that we can't rally under one term. There are a lot of people that don't like the term atheist, but probably believe as strongly as we do on most other aspects, especially political things, you know. So yeah, having someone to kind of rally behind, and Dawkins probably wouldn't be the perfect choice because I think he scares off some people. But yeah, having someone that the group kind of elects to kind of rally behind.
And Hitchens is no longer available. I mean, he would have been a perfect, very eloquent, very, very atheist, and willing to, speak up about it in a public forum and do it well. And
funny too.
And funny.
Yeah. And you know, if I were going to pick and choose personally for me, how I would pick and choose would be maybe, and not to get into too much of a tangent, but I would try to get opportunities for more diverse representation of atheism to show that there's a lot more than just the very, very nice, strong, intelligent white men. And I would have like Mendesa Thomas up there. I'd have black comedians because a lot of black comedians are atheists as well. Hannibal Buress is a great one. Richard Pryor was a great one. I know we can't use Richard Pryor because he's died, but we can use Hannibal Buress. We could have like intellectuals. We could have like, I was happy to even be representative of it. Just like, just to showcase that it's okay if you're black to come out as an atheist, because there is pressure in our community to stay religious, particularly in America. And it's nice to show that not only can you be successful, but you can also come out as well. What do you think, Larry?
Oh, yeah. Like Ian Hersey-Ali would be a good representative.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And Ian
Hersey-Ali, she's a black woman from Somalia. Is that where she's from? And she's written a couple of books about how she escaped Islam a forced marriage.
Right.
She went through Germany into Holland. Went to college there.
I listened to a podcast with her and Michael Sherman.
And ended up in the parliament there. And she passed a lot of reforms. And then eventually ended up in America, in California, I think. But yeah, she's got a couple of great books out there. And I really recommend reading Heretic, I think, is the one.
Right.
The first one that she wrote.
Also, there's a whole history of black playwrights, men and women. And it goes from James Baldwin, W.B. Du Bois. There's like great literature and in inclusions into American history that were written by black atheists who are prominent about it, who put it into their plays. And I found like if there was more than just a couple of names that we kept using, it seemed more of like a fuller on, you know, force of critical thinking and intellectuals that's like open for everybody. If we could do something like the Pope system, I would say, why not have multiple popes? And why not empower everybody to be a pope in their own right, in their own communities?
Yeah, we could have national popes and state popes and regional and city popes.
And city popes, it's like, hey, I'm the block pope. I'm the pope of this block. What's up?
I'm the hood pope.
I'm the hood pope. We need that. We need an atheist hood pope. And it'd be the best thing ever because it'd be like, these guys are in the hood. It's like, yeah, but that's a hood pope. It's like, oh, that guy, he's smoking with like
one he's of cool.
He's cool. Yeah, hang out with that guy. Anyway, George Brown, second and a half. Sorry.
I just wanted to mention something that I noticed in the news last week. Nancy Pelosi was denied. She was told she couldn't attend mass or something by the Archbishop of San Francisco. I don't know what these people's titles are or mean. And meanwhile, the Pope said that Biden could attend mass after all. And of course, what these guys are talking about is that these people's stance on birth control. So the top guy in the Catholic Church is saying to everybody that the president of the United States, being a Catholic, is okay if he attends mass, but the Archbishop of San Francisco is saying that Nancy Pelosi can't attend mass because she's opposed to abortions too. So they're disagreeing with each other. Maybe we need bishops as well as a pope in our Church of Atheism.
You know, I do like, I mean, we can go back and forth on this, but Dredd, what do you think? I want to get everyone's thoughts in here.
Well, I was going to say that as a representative of Pastafarianism, we have what is called the International Pastafarian Captains Conclave. And so the various captains of churches around the world essentially get together to discuss matters that are of interest to Pastafarians the world over. And so no one, of course, I mean, it's like, the true democracy that was part of the charter for pirate ships is that things are run by consensus.
Right.
And, you know, liberty, true freedom is what's most important for all pirates and in the interests of each other. It's in their own interest to make sure that they stick to it. So that's the way we run.
And the bedrock of empathy is compromising to an extent and realizing, hey, you can't always be the way you want, and sometimes the way you want it may not even be the best way for everybody. And like, I understanding that benefits everyone. And I found like a true democracy system could help like a enclave of atheist popes from both the blocks all the way to like country levels, just like congregating and saying, hey, everyone else is invited too, but this is what we want to represent ourselves as. And do we like the term brights? Do we want to try something different? We want to use all of it. Hey, maybe it works for everybody. Why are we following strict rules? Like we just want to make sure that we pull people away from bad critical thinking pathways and hopefully migrate our society towards, you know, this deeper, slower thinking style that can ultimately benefit everyone, because it's clearly showing some technological benefits as well. And this natural thing has been trying. Yeah, we can hear you, Scott.
Yeah, go ahead, Scott.
Yeah.
Go ahead. No, I just wanted to make sure I was logged in.
Yeah, we're going to take a break in a minute. Do you have anything to say on the subject before we go?
Not right now.
Okay.
We appreciate it. But yeah, atheism and popes, there might be a room for more visible leadership is what I'm saying. And I think we can benefit a lot from that.
Especially those that are in Congress. If they would become more visible, more vocal, that would help a lot.
Right. Well, we had once Madeline Murray O'Hare, but she was awfully abrasive.
Yeah. I was just going to say that I believe that in America, as far as I remember, that atheists were actually the most hated group.
Right.
I don't know if things are starting to change as with the rise of the nuns, but it certainly has been that, you know, that in the past. And polls taken of voters, you know, where an atheist is an option, people are, you know, again, they say an atheist will never, ever get in as a president. You can have a black president, you can have a Chinese president, you can have a woman president, but they better believe in something, because atheists, you're hated.
Sure.
What is this nun's business?
We'll get to it in a second half. Sky, what do you think?
I was going to throw in that here in Texas and in six other states, the state constitution prohibits an atheist from holding any public office or trust.
Yes, yes. That's incredible. And
Larry, go
ahead. Although that is in the Constitution, it's no longer protected. I mean, there have passed many amendments since then, and it overrode that statement in the Constitution. So it's not enforceable anymore. But since it's an originating document, they can't literally go in and change it. It would then change the Constitution the way it was then. And we want to preserve that for history. I think it's a good idea.
If anything, it's a time capsule for how dated we were in our thinking and how much progress we've made up to that point. And the fact that we can amend a constitution is demonstration that old dogmas are even thousands of years old should be changed and moved past since. Right. Anyway, Larry, we're at a break, I think.
Yeah, we are. Stay tuned right here for the second half of the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour. We're on WOZO Radio 103.9 LPFM here in Knoxville, Tennessee. And we'll be right back after this short break. Back to the second half of the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour. I'm Doubter 5, and we're on WOZO Radio 103.9 LPFM here in Knoxville, Tennessee. Now let's take a moment to talk about the Atheist Society of Knoxville. ASK was founded in 2002. We're in our 20th year now, And we have over 1,000 members, and we have weekly in-person meetings in Knoxville's Old City at Barley's Tap Room and Pizzeria. Look for us inside at the high top tables or outside on the deck if the weather is pretty. We're usually the loudest and happiest group there. We also have Tuesday nights at 5:30 or 6, and we usually go to about 8. We also have Tuesday evening Zoom meetings. If you'd like to join us, if you don't live in Knoxville or don't want to get out, just join us on our Zoom meeting. Email us, first of all, at askanatheist@knoxvilleatheist.org or letschatse@gmail.com, and we'll send you the link so you can join us. You can also find ASK online at Facebook, meetup.com, or go to their website at knoxvilleatheist.org. You can just Google Knoxville Atheist to find it. It's just that simple. By the way, if you don't live in Knoxville, you should still go to Meetup and do a search for an atheist group in your town. Don't find one. Start one. Wombat, where do you want to pick up?
Holy mackerel, Batman. We said words in the first half that we're going to clarify in the second half. So more of an extension. Guys, I also have a mea culpa. I forgot to add the episode from last week up online, and so there's no listener comments. I'm going to upload both of them this week, so expect some comments next week. Sorry about that, guys, and feel free to leave a comment in the YouTube description or comment box below. We'll go over them in the next week's show around this section. Anyway, Dread Pirate, you said we're speaking of Catholics. We're talking about the Pope. We had a conversation about nuns rising. What's going on? Where are all these nuns coming from?
So nun is a term for no religious affiliation. So Or none of the above. Yeah. So if it says check which religion you're a member of, usually down at the bottom is none of the above. And so that's where the term nuns comes from.
You have to point out the tie into Richard Pryor, though, right? Brewster's Millions. He ran for office and he convinced everyone to go vote none of the above.
Oh, that was a while ago. A long time since I saw that movie.
I saw that movie too. So, yeah. But it was a while before it was for me too. But yeah, that's great. That's basically the whole idea behind nuns. And so we have a census. I didn't know if it was in Canada as well, but in America, you have to fill out a census to describe who you are and where you're from. It's a duty obligation of our citizens to be able to do this, and they will track you down if you don't. But when you do, you have the option of describing what your religious affiliation is. And like Dread Pirate just said, at the very bottom of that list, you have the in my opinion, the best box to check, which is, you know, none. And if you hit that, a little question mark pops up, because we're beginning to see that group exponentially rise compared to all other groups, which are declining. So like the Christians in the most generic sense are decreasing in America and nuns are rising. And in fact, it wasn't until like a couple of years ago where nuns are actually the leading majority
in America.
Mm-hmm. Over 50%, over 53% or something like that since the last poll.
Yeah.
And that's an impressive thing because it doesn't seem like that's the way it is when you look out a window or when you go outside. Yet you have to think one out of two people that you're meeting would have checked that box as part of their survey. It's a very bizarre concept.
That was one thing that I was troubled with in, one thing I did when the census came around my way, I had the full form, which is the extended version. And that question was asked. And instead of signing off on none of the above, I actually wrote in another box and Pastafarianism beside it, and then checked myself off as a Pastafarian. Nice. But, you know, knowing that these statistics are changing as they are, and I think I brought this up the last time I was on, was about the subsidized childcare seats available in British Columbia and how there's like 21% Christians from the last census. But 58% of the subsidized seats were for Christian childcare schools with Christian programming. And that's, of course, you know, church and state mixing unfairly as usual to weight where the public funds go. So, you know, as a Pastafarian, as other nuns who are now, like you say, on the rise, the majority are funding you know, the majority of seats in Christian childcare centers, and it's just not right.
Mm, very true. Boudreaux, listen, the idea that nuns are rising, I don't know if it's just on your block or if it, in your household, I imagine most people are atheists, but you have people coming into your home. Do you feel like in your neck of the woods in Lexington, do you feel like it is, how do I put this, relatively nun populated? Or is there still like, would you confidently say it's, I don't think it's one out of two people here, or maybe you just haven't asked. Feel free to jump in. Yeah. I'll just keep extending my question longer and longer.
No, that's interesting. I mean, we're in Kentucky, so we are, I think, kind of part of the Bible Belt, at least a little bit. We're a red state too, which I think, you know, definitely plays into this. We're in one of the bigger cities, or in Lexington. So, it kind of depends, you know, if I'm going to a soccer game in a smaller town nearby, most of the parents are from that small town. I'm probably the only atheist on the, you know, in the group. When I go to work, my office suite, I think there's actually one religious person, you know, nearby. It depends. I think, you know, my street, you know, I can probably count on one hand the number of atheists I suspect. And you know, this is, you know, I know people go to church, or I know, you know, they're so, yeah, I think context matters, but
yes.
That's a tough one to ask. Actually, one of the things I found interesting driving around, our Kentucky license plate, you have an option for "In God We Trust."
Right.
Which I think it's not the default, luckily.
Sure.
Unlike police cars in Georgia or something like that. But I've been noticed that anytime I see, a lot of times when I see the "In God We Trust," I look down at the county, and it's usually a more rural county. I've been kind of doing, you know, back of the napkin calculations, thinking it's anytime it's my county, Fayette County, I usually don't see it, but anytime I see the "In God We Trust," I look down and it's some rural county.
Yeah. Anecdotal. So that is, I'm not sure if you guys are aware of that, but there's a weird litmus test when you get a driver's license in Tennessee or Kentucky, where they ask if you believe in a God and want to represent that as part of the signing up for a car registration. And if you say yes, you get a "In God We Trust" on your license plate, your government issued license plate that you put on the back or front of your car. And you have to say no to get the other one, so that you can get the secular version on your car. And it's like this weird, awkward thing. It's a very bizarre thing where you're in front of everybody and the lady's looking at you. And here's a small victory. Here's a small victory. Just like, I can't believe this. Like, welcome to America.
I can't. I'll be right back.
In Tennessee, they've redesigned the license plate. So like, now there is a new issue of license plates that are a completely different color, and there's only one option, and it has no God on it whatsoever.
Where is so, this?
Like, It's in Tennessee. Have you seen the new blue license plates, Larry?
Yeah, but you do have an option for "In God We Trust" on it.
But now you have to ask for that. So it's been flipped around. So
like, okay, cool.
So now it's not no to get the non-religious one. Now it's, you're getting this one. Would you like a religious one? Would you like one for autism? Would you like one that for this? Now you have to go out of your way to pick that one. So like, the default has swapped, and I appreciate that. Sky, are you calling from Tennessee or Kentucky?
San Antonio, Texas.
San Antonio, do you have any weird license plate things that you want to bring up?
No, what we have that's weird is we have an "In God We Trust" law for the schools, which I am very much against. Hmm. The schools have to post "In God We Trust" in prominent letters. Some schools, it's only at the entrance. Some schools, like public universities, it has to be in every building.
Okay. Wow. That's bizarre.
I think we have the same thing here in Tennessee.
Yeah, you do. Mm. I've got a list somewhere.
I was going to brag on our superintendent for our public school system in Kentucky. We had that rule too. And he put a dollar bill in all the public schools near the front, because it has "In God We Trust" on the dollar bill. And so it's an enlarged, slightly enlarged dollar bill, but I thought it was a pretty clever way of getting around it. I mean,
sure. What a crazy thing. What a crazy thing.
I think God appearing on the money was one of the worst decisions ever, because it galvanized in American thought the connection between capitalism and religion.
Yeah.
I would much rather see our real motto, E Pluribus Unum, there.
Right.
Which you now is relegated to the back.
And the most bizarre, oh, cool. I love that, dredging Pasiferian thing.
Yeah.
It's one of the things where the more Christians try to push religion into the public circle, the more they do it in the least Christian way possible.
Because
you think of the last thing God or Jesus would want his name to be on would be on the thing that we throw at strippers. Has anyone ever connected, like, at least put it on the $20 bill?
That's clever.
But you know what $1 bills are for? You put them underneath the $20 bill to make it look like you got even more money. Like, that's, everyone knows this. Okay. Anyway, I do have this question for kids, guys who have kids. If your kid didn't want to say the Pledge of Allegiance, and this is an older comment question that we had that I wanted to bring up again. So sorry for the person who asked it. I forgot their name, but it was an important thing. Like, if for atheists who have kids and their kid comes home and is like, hey, I got in trouble for not doing the Pledge of Allegiance, how would you react to that? And would that be an issue if they can explain why they didn't feel like they had to compel themselves to say a thing to a flag? Dredd, I know you have kids. Larry, you too. George, I think everyone here.
No, I don't. Well, now. I have a stepdaughter.
Okay.
But she was an adult when I got married. So she
came back from school being like, they didn't want to let me say the Pledge of Allegiance. You would have other questions for her. Okay. What are you doing in school? Yeah. Oh, Dredd, you're from Canada. I'm not sure if they have such a thing.
No, but we do, of course, have our anthem.
Okay.
And one of the lines is, God keep our land glorious and free.
Mm.
So I say quab keep our land glorious and free.
Okay. So Larry, what do you think?
Well, first of all, nobody should be compelled to take any kind of oath. If it's under duress, an oath is invalid.
Right.
I mean, simple and clear. You should not be forced to make an oath, period. Right.
So the superintendent comes up like, we're not putting her in trouble for not saying the oath, because that would be the case, right? We're getting her in trouble because she doesn't want to say the oath. It's just like, that's so terrible. Pick a different school. Right. It's the same thing at the end of the day.
Absolutely.
Boudreaux, have you ever had, what would you do in that kind of reaction if your kids came in and were like, hey, we stayed quiet during the Pledge of Allegiance and now we're in trouble?
Yeah, I would back them up on it. I think that's like forcing someone to pray before a meal. It's, I will point out that my daughter says the Pledge of Allegiance and then skips the God bit, you know, cause that's in there too, but she skips that part purposefully. So
like the whole speech goes through and then for some reason your daughter ends like 5 seconds earlier than everybody else, but screams it out just as loud. And I was like, hey, you should skip the part. It's like, yeah, that's right. Remember me.
Yeah.
Nice. I love it. Dredd.
Yeah. I was going to say, I would agree, you know, as in terms of the Pledge of Allegiance, and what we're seeing in Canada, of course, is, you know, with the Truth and Reconciliation movement pushing ahead, every meeting and every conference that you go to nowadays is started by a representative of a native band upon whose unceded lands the conference is taking place. And it is my practice not to stand because they want to, you know, talk about their ancestors or beat a drum. It's just, I mean, it's just replacing one religious observation with another, in my view, and I refuse to do either. So,
okay.
And I would be behind my kids. You know, certainly if one of my kids said that, I would ask them why or what compelled them to not rise, and then listen to the explanation, because that's the important part, is if they just said, well, I, you know, they were dissing somebody. right. That would be different than just making a stand about their own right to expression and right not to express, right?
Right to expression and right to it's like speech and choosing when to speak is still a right, whether there's a religious or cultural obligation there or not, right?
Yeah.
I can respect that. Sky, what's up?
The original pledge, as it was written by Francis Minister William Bellamy, did not contain the words "under God." That was added in the 50s when we were slapping God all over everything because of the Cold War, the godless commies.
Right.
That's
was that 1954? I think that was a big year that money started getting.
The Coin Act, I believe 1950. 56.
Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, we put it in our money. We added "under God" to the pledge. I have a little notebook somewhere that tells all the stuff we did during McCarthyism. Yeah. That was scary.
Right.
Can you imagine what it must have been like to be an atheist or a person of color in the 50s? Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I
not
was
as
there.
Bad as it was in the 40s. I'll tell you that. Not as bad as it was in the 30s. I can give you some pretty clear indications. It sucks.
I was there.
All the time, but gets better.
I was there when it was happening. And, you know, I was in school when the "under God" came in, and I was refusing. I was refusing to say the Pledge of Allegiance, and I was even refusing to stand up when everybody else was doing it.
Good for you.
And I got
good for you.
I caught some flack for that. I mean, I can imagine
in the 50s.
Yeah,
the very end of the pledge negates the whole pledge with liberty and justice for all. Well, liberty means I have the right to not recite the pledge. And justice for all means I have the right to never be punished for not reciting that pledge.
Yes, really good points.
Very good points, George. That's wonderful. Well said. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
and what would I do if my kid? Well, I would just back him up, you know. Whatever he wanted to do was fine with me. Yeah.
You know, I don't have a kid, but even if I had a kid who was like, hey, there was this weird, you know, observance that was going on, or this, you know, culturally relevant thing, and I don't see how it applies, or I have some problems with it. So like when everybody stood up to say their support, I stayed sitting down, because I'm not that I'm against it. It's that I still have questions about it, and I'm going to want to do my personal research. It's like, you have the right to do that. Like, you have a right to think about things before you just go with the crowd, right? And I feel like that societal pressure, when there's an edict and you're in a classroom full of your peers and everyone's standing up, the kid that's sitting down is probably the most, you know, aware and willing to think kid. That's something we should be fostering in schools, not so much punishing, in my opinion. Though, you know, that is just my thought. If we had an atheist pope, maybe we can get some more support for that. That'd be what I'd look for in my stump speech. We'll do this as our last calling card before we go out. So on the topic of an atheist pope, top three things we want, top three things we don't want, and maybe we can get there by consensus. And I'll have I'll throw out my top three, and then we'll feel free to three in the three things I don't want. So obviously the things that I don't want are fancy hats, because I don't want atheists to wear fancy hats. I know, wear fancy hats if you want on your own, but don't make it.
I'm not going to be an atheist then. I'm sticking with Pastafarianism.
You can be an atheist with a fancy hat, but don't think atheism being wearing a fancy hat. Yeah, exactly. They're not mutually accepted. Not everyone get a hat that cool, right? And not every atheist has a head, right? Oh, what's up? What's up, Sky?
Oh, well, actually, in surveying world religions, I have found that weird headgear and robes are very important.
Yes. Yeah, because you have to look the part, right? It's just costuming. Yeah. It's part of the fantasy. It's like why, you know, handcuffs are so important for fetishes. What else can you do about it? Anyway, second one, let me eat my bacon. Enough said. Like, we know how to cook it safely. Like, come on, what are you doing? And I would say the third one is good reps. So, like, if everybody in Congress and in the leadership all look the same, there's a problem. make sure that you have as much of a multifaceted approach in your advertising as you do your leadership, because it's that idea of compromise. It's that idea of empathy. It's you get it by living that experience. And if your leadership is informed by that, that could be a great thing. And so, yeah, I'd like to see a variation. I'd love to see diversity. I'd love to be able to eat my bacon and no headgear. And that would be my three things, my recs that I would give to our upcoming Rising of the Nun Pope representation system for atheism as a whole. Dread Pirate, what do you think?
Well, like I said, I'm much more into pacifism and the rule of the pirates' consensus. And that's what I would like to see in either the nuns, the atheists, or the pastafarians.
Nice, well, nice. I mean, and potlucks, though. It seems like you need to have a lot of potlucks to keep everything.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice. Well, that's great. I mean, food is good.
Very, very cool. Very cool. Hear me out. Here's a weird thing. Sorry for this weird tangent, but is there a space pastafarian sect of pastafarians? So it's like, yes, ships are cool, but spaceships even cooler.
We're gonna get there. I'm gonna put it up to Elon Musk to name the first spaceship to Mars, the Bounty.
Yeah. All right. Eric Boudreau, what would be your final top three tips for our Pope atheist system?
Well, I think I came up with two of each while listening. Inclusion, I think, kind of slightly touches what you were saying too. But yeah, I mean, anyone could be a part of it. You don't have to. You probably shouldn't even have to be an atheist. You know,
interesting.
Welcome anyone. Yeah, and different people. I'd say holidays. Let's get some holidays.
Let's get some holidays.
I want a day off. I mean, come on. You know, Easter is it's the most boring holiday. My kids are old enough now where we don't bother with hunting for eggs, and otherwise there's nothing to it. So let's get a good atheist holiday. And then I guess the two things I wouldn't want, nothing that, you know, compel you to do things, the standing up, the, you know, if we had any kind of, you know, activity, you know, you do it if you want to, there's no pressure. And then I had another good one, but it escaped me. So anyway,
can you imagine in the summer or the early spring, leaving a hard boiled egg on the dirt behind some grass and then having kids run out with their dirty hands, searching through dirt, finding an egg. And then the expectation is you're going to eat that egg. And it's like, why is this a holiday? We should get rid of this. And it's let's eat some good Easter candy and it's Peeps. And that's all you got? No, get rid of this holiday. Just get rid of it. There's nothing good about this. What's up? What's up, Jack?
I was just going to say that up in British Columbia here, we have what is now called Family Day.
Okay.
And so that's a secular celebration.
Here's my replacement tip. I would say call it tie-dye shirt day, where everybody just goes out and tie-dye shirts. And you can roll into Family Day, and it's still the Easter vibe, but like tying, dyeing a shirt is always a fun activity. It's always fun. And then you get clothes afterwards. It's super cool. It's just like,
Well, we're shooting for Passover.
Nice.
We have talk like a pirate day.
We do. Yes. Yes. That's
Guy. Yeah. Oh, sorry. Yeah. My bad.
October 15th.
Oh, just wanted to remind you that Easter has chocolate.
Every holiday has
chocolate.
Scooped
out of bunnies.
Yes. And Valentine's Day, just after Valentine's Day, what are you doing?
Come on. Do you know why Easter bunny chocolates are hollow?
No.
It's to represent God's promises.
Well played.
Very good. George Brown. Anything you would recommend as the atheist could do better in terms of?
Well, I really can't, because I'm passing a brain stone right now.
I know you've been talking about better advertisement. How do we get the message out to non-believers?
Oh, how do we get respect from these people? I don't have an idea for that right now.
Sure. But maybe the Pope will. Maybe the atheist Pope will.
Maybe the Pope will, yeah.
And can set it up for us. Larry, what's up?
Well, I have three things, I think. First, no authoritarianism. They strictly represent themselves and atheism, and they don't pass decrees, as it were, that are forced on anybody else. Now, there was a person who said, I remember who it was, is that we shouldn't have mean atheists. Ah. But the thing about it is, as Daniel Dennett said, there's no polite way to tell people they've dedicated their lives to an illusion.
Right.
Mm.
They're going to consider you mean if you question their beliefs, period. So we shouldn't worry about that.
Right.
And as far as Easter goes, okay, forget the eggs. I think we should throw Lego pieces out in the yard, have all the kids find them. And then after they find them, they all come back, combine them, and then build something. How's that?
That's pretty
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. It sounds so good on paper until you step on a Lego piece in your yard in the middle of September, and you're like, why didn't we come up with this?
What are you
holiday?
Doing in the yard in the middle of September?
Or you find it in your dog's
poop. You can't find all the pieces.
Dog's poop a couple days later.
Yeah, your dog can poop in the yard, but you can't leave Lego pieces.
What are you doing looking
through your dog's poop?
I have a brilliant idea to add onto the list. You make the Lego pieces out of sugar. So it's still candy. And you can still brick them together.
Yeah.
That way it dissolves outside.
Very close to ending. We need to go ahead and get final words.
Drew, I'm going to go around and ask everyone what they'd recommend to see next week. And then where can we find their stuff? Dread Pirate, where can we find your stuff? And what would you recommend we check out?
Well, my stuff is I live stream this at 7 a.m. on Sunday mornings at 7 a.m. PDT, Pacific Daylight Time. My channel is Mind Pirate, MindPyrate. Check it out. If you like it, subscribe. And I am reading this book.
Ooh, Breaking the Spell.
Daniel Dennett's Breaking the Spell. Great, great read. Mm-hmm. He's a master writer, and he really knows his stuff. So I'd recommend that.
Nice. Boudreaux, what do you recommend that we check out next week? And if you're still making stuff, where can we find it?
I did post in the chat pod a link. Come to Kentucky in September for the Free Thought Convention. You guys can all drive up. And we have Monica Burns, who's the chapter organizer of Black Nonbelievers in Louisville, and a bunch of other people. So,
guys, Sky, thank you so much for joining the show. It's always good to have you on. Go on ahead. Do you have something you'd like to add?
Oh, yeah. I have a Facebook page called the Nullifidian Chronicles, and it's a kind of irreverent atheist approach to the Bible, to God, and to politics. And then I also have a Facebook group that I'd like to encourage everyone to join called Humans for a Kinder World.
Very nice. Listen, I would recommend that you check out James Baldwin. He is a poet of the 19th. What he's known for is being very critical of religion at a time when it was not only hard to do so as a white guy, particularly hard as a black guy. And he used to be a Pentecostal preacher. He has a quote here that I like really well. It's in one of his plays. It says, "If the concept of God has any validity or any use, it can only be to make us larger, freer, and more loving. And if God can't do this, then it's time we get rid of him." And to say that as a black guy in the 1960s, that is some powerful justice going on right there. But James Baldwin, recommend you check out some of his poems. He's a really great playwright too. Wrote some like the cornerstones of what I grew up with. But anyway, you can find myself at Let's Chat. You're probably on YouTube right now. Feel free to leave a comment. We'll go through it next episode. And if you have any questions about atheism and you don't know what it's about, well, I'm sorry, we can't answer it. It's not like a book exists for that. So anyway, Larry, take us out. Oops. He's basically going to say there's no way we can help you about if you don't know what atheism is and all it's all about. Sorry.
Right. Mnemonic content can be found online at digitalfreethought.com. Be sure to click the blog button for our radio show archives, atheist songs, and many articles on the subject. My YouTube channel can be found by searching for Doubter 5 or Larry Rhodes. And my book is Atheism, What's It All About? It's available on Amazon. If you're having trouble leaving religious beliefs behind, emotionally, logically, whatever, you can get help at recoveringfromreligion.org. You can find this show on Apple iTunes, Pocket Cast, Amazon, and podcasts everywhere. Just search for Digital Free Thought Radio Hour. Thank you for joining us. And remember, everybody is going to somebody else's hell. The time to worry about it is when they prove that heavens and hells and souls are real. Until then, don't sweat it. Enjoy your life, and we'll see you next week. Say bye, everybody.
Bye. 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 Bye.